to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio, and I have two people over the phone with me. We have Cindy Amarongan, who is the Executive Director of Northern Lights Health Foundation, and we also have Chantel Beaver, who is the Executive Director of Few Social. Thank you both for joining me over the phone.
Thank you for having us, Jaron.
So we're here to talk a little bit about COVID-19, the topic that's sweeping the nation and sweeping the globe, but more specifically, the impacts that this potentially could be having long-term on charities and the social profits. And I don't know who wants to start, but maybe we'll start with the charity. So most likely Cindy will be starting, but what kind of impact do you see this having on, you know, the charity sector, maybe specifically locally, but across the world, if this continues to linger and, you know, impact the economy for months down the road?
Right. Well, the reason that Chantel and I are taking this action today to talk and get our messaging out is that we, as part of the charities and nonprofits in Canada, are starting to understand the greater impacts other than just what we're seeing locally, which we'll get to. What is perceived to be happening in Canada over the next little while, if the lockdown continues, the slowdown continues, is that charities are going to lose about $9.5 billion in revenues, and which will cause a layoff of more than 117,000 employees. So these are really big numbers, and that's just over a three-month period. It gets much more drastic over a six-month period of socialization and lack of ability to fundraise. So that's what it looks like on the national scale. For us at the Health Foundation, all of you are aware that we recently canceled our Roaring Twenties Spring Fling, which is going to be an outstanding event, by the way. And that was a source for us of unrestricted funding. And what that means is it's monies that we can use throughout the year for emergent things that come up through the HS system that are required to be funding, and also to maintain our operations as a viable foundation. That loss alone, just for Spring Fling, for us is $120,000. And that is actually only that great figure because many of our sponsors and our ticket purchasers chose to allow us to have the monies that were already paid to us as charitable donations. And honestly, we can't thank people enough for that. But the impact, when we look through the summer and into the fall, are fairly drastic. We don't see a lot of revenue that's going to be coming in. And, for a small organization like ours, we're pretty sure that there's going to be more human resource impacts and then not understanding where we're going to be in the next 6 months. So that's where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm. First off, it's amazing that your sponsors did do that charitable donation to allow you guys to keep the funds. But you mentioned over $100,000 for so many organizations. That could be the difference between keeping the lights on and keeping the lights off.
Absolutely. We raise, with our foundation, we're normally around $3 million for the year. And remember that most of that is through the campaign that we ran for 4 years, the gratitude campaign, mm-hmm. which means most of the money is already tagged to projects that are going on, which we still have to pay for regardless of diminishing revenues or how our investment portfolio is doing, which is another sad thing right now. So it's not that we definitely need the money, and we definitely need our events to continue to thrive. We need people to attend things, and we need sponsors to know that they have viable businesses that they're supporting so that they can put their monies into the charitable sector. And right now, all of those things are in jeopardy.
We've been hearing so many different supports coming from the federal government for small businesses, and I may just be missing it, but has there been any additional supports for, you know, charities to make sure that these organizations such as yourselves can hopefully withstand this pandemic?
So I think this is Chantel speaking, and I think there's been consideration for sure of the social profit sector, but like businesses, we need to have adequate consideration at all levels of government. While all sectors of the economy are facing these unprecedented challenges, there are aspects of this crisis that are very much unique to us. Most organizations do not carry significant cash reserves. So for those that do, those reserves are most likely represent less than 3 months of operating capital. We know this is not a three-month phenomenon that's happening with us right now. Right. Most organizations are not able to access emergency capital through lines of credit or bridging loans. Fundraising, as Cindy mentioned, is at a virtual standstill with major events, campaigns, and casinos canceled. And with the casino piece being a provincial initiative to get money in the hands of NPOs, we really haven't seen what's replacing those revenues, if anything. Mm-hmm. We're hearing of resources shortages for human and social service delivery operations, with staff, volunteers self-isolating, and now with the added fines that have been put in place. I heard from persons working in the sector yesterday that they had staff not coming in because they had seasonal allergies, but they were afraid they're going to get a fine. So it's really compounding for us as it is for the rest of the communities. The cost of providing essential community services has increased, though, and in particularly in the areas of health and safety, when you consider things like PPE and disseminating information. You know, the demand for social profit is countercyclical, and as the economic uncertainty and disallocation increases go up, our need is far superior. So we're being hit from all ends right now, where our fundraising and our ability to access funds has gone down, but the need for us has gone up. And particularly affected are those organizations such as the foundation, who depend heavily on events and donations. And then you have the organizations like food banks and shelters and the organizations assisting seniors, who are working around the clock right now. And still there hasn't been any certain injection per se that has been announced. We haven't really heard whose hands that is going to end up at this point.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Cindy Amarongan and Chantel Beaver, talking about the impact COVID-19 is having on the nonprofit and charity sector.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Cindy Amarongan, who is the Executive Director of the Northern Lights Health Foundation, and Chantel Beaver, who is the Executive Director of Fuse Social. And we're talking about the impact COVID-19 is having on the nonprofit and charity sector. And again, I don't know who wants to take it away, but just to kind of touch again on just what kind of impacts this is having locally.
We were cheered, or at least I was, to see Monies for Homelessness initiatives announced, and that, you know, that really is going to go a long way in our community to support the poor organizations that are doing on the ground housing and supports for homeless people. But let's cast our mind back to 2016 and the fire. This community, as a group of nonprofits, came together more closely than they'd ever been. And I would say specifically under the Fuse Social umbrella really helped us. But we clearly talked at that time about the fact that there is no emergency funding for charities and nonprofits. We are on the sidelines, and this is nationwide, but we saw it front and center in the fire, and we can't see this happen to us again. We have to be able to be part of emergency and stimulus packages from federal, provincial levels, and locally they have to. We need people to recognize that this is a slightly different sector. It doesn't have income generation. although many of our organizations were trying to go down that route of having little stores and getting into social enterprise, but those things are all closed as well. These are the very people, the very organizations that are going to help with the mental health, the physical health, the emotional needs of an entire population that has no understanding of what's coming next, is isolated in their home, their income is diminishing. It's really, I just see this such a bad spot to be in right now.
Mm-hmm. You both mentioned, Chantel, you go.
Yeah, so since he mentioned stimulus packages and the incentives for business, and while we have seen announcements associated with community sector, it's different. We know there's lengthy applications we need to go through, and there's all of this administrative work that's added to our plate to show the theory of change, to show the to show how we're going to spend the money. It's taking our limited human resources away from actually serving the population. So even the money that has been injected, there's all of these rings of fire that you need to jump through to get to it. It's quite sad. And I think after the fire, Cindy's right. That's something that we had come out very loud to say, you know, it has to be easier for us to be able to serve this community.
Mm-hmm. So this so-called red tape is really affecting the organizations right now.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. You guys both brought up an interesting point, and one thing that maybe some people won't realize is, yes, the organizations are directly impacted, but if the organizations are directly impacted, that means that the communities themselves and the people that they help are directly impacted as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I mean, from a few social perspective, our very mission is that we support the nonprofit world, the social profit world, so that social profit world can support our community. And what we've been seeing over the last couple of weeks is an increased need for us to help with that system navigation piece, and organizations who are trying to ensure that their clients and this community is healthy and well, while still trying to determine, am I eligible for the wage subsidies that have been announced by government? Can I pay my rent this month? Is there forgiveness for this, that? You know, volunteers are a large part of what helps this community run, and volunteers are not, it's not healthy and safe for us to be able to deploy volunteers right now. Mm-hmm. So I know we have staff who are working around the clock at their own detriment, the exact same thing that we've seen in research after the wildfire. The fatigue is going to come, and it's going to come fast if we don't take control of this sector and allow this sector to support the community in the best way possible.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Cindy Amarongan and Chantel Beaver, talking about the impact COVID-19 is having on the nonprofit and charity sector.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Cindy Amarongan, Executive Director of the Northern Lights Health Foundation, as well as Chantel Beaver, Executive Director of Fuse Social. And we're talking about the impact COVID-19 is having on the nonprofit and charity sector. Looking ahead, say, to this time next year, hopefully the pandemic is behind us. We don't know how long it will go. It looks like the economy may be going into a recession. So the pandemic and the economy are definitely affecting all these communities across Canada, specifically here in Wood Buffalo, where we live and die off of what happens to the oil and gas sector. But in a year's time, if nothing changes, do you think that maybe some charities, some NPOs in the community may be closing their doors?
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I think we were headed down that road anyway, with some of the issues that have come up post-wildfire combined with the economic downturn. Now, this is just, unfortunately, probably going to be a final straw for some of these nonprofits and charities. And I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I really hope that I'm wrong. But in the foreseeable future, the conversations that we've been having at a national, provincial level, regional level, that is a strong possibility.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then, you know, what does that really mean? It means that people are not supported to the level they need. That means you see more domestic violence, you see more crime, you see more homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You just you see a social network that spirals a bit out of control. And the people who would like to be employed in those fields, the longer they're out of them, the the farther away their skill set is. It isn't the kind of thing that you want this basket of social services to drop at this time, and you don't want it to be gone in the future. It's taken years to build some of these places up to be the supportive networks that they are.
Mm-hmm. I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but what steps do you two think are needed to ensure that MPOs across the country and here in Wood Buffalo can withstand this pandemic?
Well, as we started this off with, we're taking national action along with other charities and nonprofits to advocate to federal government through our MPs and through our whatever channels we have to try to get our sector recognized and funded. So that's one step. It's a large step, and that's being led at a very senior level through Imagine Canada and through the Emergency Charities Network. Locally, we're gathering, we're talking, we're trying very hard to make sure that we're part and parcel of an acknowledgement of the issue, but also of the solutions that we can provide if we're funded. Yeah, I'm not sure I can add to that.
Yeah, I think, Cindy and I are both part of the movement for Imagine Canada at a federal level and having our voice heard at that level. And I also sit on the founder's table for the Alberta Nonprofit Network and have been advocating at a provincial level as well. Regionally, I think with the motion we have coming before council tonight, the most eminent need for the sector is to be considered in that definition of essential services. I think that we need to be cognizant that essential services look a little different for social profit, and the same due diligence that's being paid to business needs to be paid to us. You have your obvious, or at least I believe to be obvious, food banks, community kitchens, volunteering community services for mental health and seniors and addictions, but there is a lot to consider about the health and well-being of community when defining essential services. So at a local level, I think that is our most pressing need.
All right. Well, is there anything either of you would like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
I think, a reminder that we are talking numbers that are in the hundreds of thousands of staff members across the nation, and then another hundreds of thousands of volunteers that are impacted by these layoffs, closures, lack of services being offered. And then one of the things we were asked to make a focus on as well was that many of these employees are women. Mm-hmm. The predominant 7 in 10 members of the social profits, nonprofits, charities workforce are women. And lack of funding to this sector disproportionately disenfranchises this group of people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think I would add to that as well and to say, in this community in particular, the social profit sector is often a secondary employer for women who come to this community or we have a lot of families who work in the oil industry, and we become a secondary employer, but we have high skill sets. We have amazing women and men working in our sector who we want to retain in this community. We want to keep their families in this community, and we want to make sure that this community is healthy and well for them all to live in.
All right. Well, Chantel, Cindy, thank you so much for having this chat. And hopefully we can see some additional steps come in to support MPOs across the country.
Thanks, Jared. We hope that as well. Thank you, Jared.
Once again, that was Cindy Amarongan and Chantel Beaver talking about the impact COVID-19 is having on the charity sector. Now, there are a number of programs and services that the federal government is introducing to help businesses and organizations that are impacted by this pandemic. So if you're looking for more information, just head to the Mix News page. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at Mix 103.7 FM.com.